Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right. So today I have Kathy Hagler on the line, and she's founder and partner at K2OH Solutions. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you on the show, and I'm excited. Anybody that's been watching this show for a long time, they know there's nothing I like more than to promote other authors and their work and their books. And I know you just released Art of Scars.
I did.
And we're going to get into that because I'm excited to get into it. Anytime somebody's just off a book release, number one, they're really excited, but they got a lot to tell about their books. So I'm excited to get into this with you. But before that, we'll start this show like we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. That is, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here, Kathy. What mission matters to you?
The mission that matters to me is that K2OH Solutions elevates organizations of character to achieve bold thinking and action. Mm-hmm. While they deliver exceptional results to their clients. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We look at organizations as a partner. We come to them and we talk to them about the kinds of work that they want to do. Mm-hmm. What is their vision? Where do they want to go? What bold actions do they want to take? And how do they take their people with them? Mm-hmm. What we do is we come in as the partner to do the specifics, use the tools, use the kinds of techniques that we have, mm-hmm. but they bring the knowledge of their company. And then together with them and us put together, mm-hmm. we actually then help them deliver the best possible result to their clients.
That's awesome. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the show to share why they do what they do. So thank you for sharing that. And I do want to go further into K2OH Solutions. But before we do, how'd you get on this path? Like, how did you get started into starting this company?
I was the dean of a community college in California. Mm-hmm. And my job at the community college in California was to make sure that the people in the businesses in Orange County had the proper training from the community colleges. So I was very interested in understanding what the business was so I could help train their people. And what I saw from that was decided that I really wanted to be a consultant to work with the businesses and then connect them to the colleges for training.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the types of organizations that typically get the most value out of working with you and your team, whether it's industry, size of company, stage of company, whether they're startups or, you know, enterprise, like who normally gets the most value?
You know, over the last 4 decades that I've done this work. And by the way, I've not done any marketing. It's all been word of mouth. Wow. And over the last 4 decades, what I've found is that people come to us when they're ready to move. They're ready to flow into another area. They're ready to grow. Yeah. They're ready to become bigger and better than they were before for their clients. So what we've done is we've worked with organizations with as many as 50,000 people, yeah. but we've worked with organizations with as many as 2. So nonprofit, profit, I've worked in airports, hospitals, construction companies. I've worked in real estate offices. I've worked in nonprofits such as Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Mm. But the whole idea is an organization is an entity. It's a body of people that come together to actually serve their clients. So it really doesn't matter. The language doesn't change about organizations. What changes is that I bring the tool and they bring the content.
Wow. What do you find? And I don't want to oversimplify this. Of course, with your many years of experience and also with the variation of clients you've worked at, and everything is going to be custom. I completely get that. But I understand also that over time, like certain themes arise. So what do you find are some of those common themes that arise when a client first comes to you and they're like, hey, we're ready to go, as you said, like we're ready to grow. Like what are some of those themes that are typically maybe holding people back?
I think one of the themes is their misunderstanding of the role of leadership.
Mm.
I believe that leadership should be leaderful. Mm. And I've actually sort of coined that term around the fact that I believe that once a leader understands that they are much better rather than just trying to survive, mm-hmm. I like to call it they snuggle together rather than struggle together. Mm-hmm. And the way they snuggle together is they make leaderful teams. Mm-hmm. So they teach their people to be leaders in the organization. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I love to see is a leader say, I want to bring in my people. I want to bring in their thoughts mm-hmm. and their ideas so that together we can build the organization and reach our vision. So that's one of the things. It's the actual realization and awareness that leaderful teams really work better than one person. Another one of the breakthroughs that I've seen is that people, the leaders and the people in the organization really have to understand the value of training.
Yeah.
Because everything is changing so fast. And so much fast, even more so than when I started 40 years ago, is changing so fast that they have to keep up. So keeping up with the technology, keeping up with their skills, mm-hmm. keeping up with their knowledge, but also keeping up with how do you work with others is very important. So I believe those two things, the understanding of leadership as being a leaderful requirement, and also the understanding that developing your people is really key to keep the organization moving forward so it can help their clients.
Mm. And so your answers are interesting to me because, well, number one, obviously they're based off your experience. And I wasn't expecting the first thing to be so like leadership, but when we get back to it, because a lot of people sometimes think that, you know, they can just maybe make this investment in this, you know, software or this other thing, or it's a supply chain or it's this or that, but it all starts with leadership. Like that's where it all starts.
It does. A recent book out by Gene Littman Blumen, who was a professor of mine at the Claremont Graduate School, mm-hmm. talks about the whole movement of connected leadership. Mm. And connected leadership really says the leader, even regardless of his or her credentials, only has one brain. But if they bring all these brains together, there's a magic connectivity that happens. And it really can actually catapult your visioning, you're being able to see the future into something much bigger than one person can do by themselves. So yeah. Connective leadership, I believe, is a real important part of tomorrow's world.
Mm. Are the leader, like when you think about the leadership considerations, and you're talking about from companies that are, you know, small business to mid-size to enterprise, do all three of those at times have some of the same problems, or are they completely living in different worlds based off of revenue or different like objectives? Like give me a little bit about that insight.
I believe that regardless of the size of an organization, they're still an organization.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like, I like to compare organizations to people.
Mm.
So it would be like comparing an organization. You're one organization and I'm the other organization. So do we have the same problems? Yeah, we do. You know, we all are young once. We all get to be middle-aged. We all get older. We all have jobs. We all have training. We have relationships. And I believe organizations are the same. They all have brains. They all have subconscious, the way they see things. They all have the way they behave. And they all have the way they misbehave. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, a lot of those kinds of things come together. Some make them very successful and some make them very unsuccessful. just like it would for you and me. So I think my big breakthrough has really to see is that the leadership is like a person. An organization is like a person. Mm-hmm. It's a body of things, just like we're a body of cells. It's a body of people. Mm-hmm. So if you think about that, regardless of the size, there's a lot of the same problems.
Yeah.
So it's been fascinating for me to just see how those issues display themselves in an organization that has two people compared to one that, like I worked at the Miami airport, it had 35,000 people. So, but they had the same kind of issues as someone that had two people.
Ah, that's what I was looking for from you. I was wondering, I'm like, well, does it, because it's also rare that you find an individual with your experience that works with both subsets. Like normally, you know, to have that bandwidth and be able to work with those different sizes of companies is unique in my experience, at least.
And you know what, Adam, it's been so much fun.
Yeah, I bet.
It has been so much fun because as I've learned that lesson, it's almost I can go into an organization and I just kind of wait to see, you know, what's going to happen with this one. And it's fun. And I'm just humbled, mm-hmm. you know, by the opportunity to be able to go in and also almost bring ideas from a larger organization to a smaller one or yeah. bring ideas from a smaller organization to a larger one because it works really, really well.
Yeah. No, I see that and I get that. And it makes sense. I mean, it's just completely logical when you say that, like that cross-pollination of just having that fresh set of eyes and having you stay on the forefront of things. The small company in theory moves more nimbly. The larger company in theory may take a little bit more time, a little bit more bureaucracy historically, not all companies, but you know, in general, harder to move a bigger ship at times. So I get it. I want to go into your book. So I've been holding myself back here because I'm excited. So first off, congratulations, Art of Scars. I mean, congrats on that.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
I feel fantastic. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. Mm. I've known that it's been coming. I've known that I need to do this. And since it came out, I am extremely happy. And I'm extremely excited about people reading it and really helping them understand sort of my perspective of organizations over the last four decades.
It's amazing. So first off, I do want to get into the content. So let's start off with what inspired the book. So there's a lot of different ways you can tell a story, obviously. You know, you can write blogs, you can do other things, but a book is pretty special. Like it's not easy to do. It takes time. It takes, you know, expertise. It takes a lot of work from a lot of people to get it out there and on a shelf or on Amazon or different places. So what inspired you to write the book?
Well, first, I want to say that I'm here to say it isn't easy, but I'm also here to say that I have a leaderful team. Hmm. The people that were with me, I call it my Art of Scars team.
Yeah,
we worked together. There were almost 15 of us doing different parts, and they all learned just like I did. So it was a very exciting project. And they're all saying, we have to write another one now because we're now just now learning. So we have to what inspired me to do this was that when I really began to realize that a person is like an organization, I began to realize that as a young child, I had a lot of scars, physical scars, emotional scars, a lot of spiritual scars. Mm-hmm. And what I began to see as I worked more and more through my career and with all these organizations is that they had scars. Mm-hmm. And so they had wounds, just like I had wounds.
Yeah.
And then they healed. Sometimes they healed really well, and sometimes it wasn't pretty. Mm-hmm. And then they got scars. And the other thing I noticed, which was so amazing, was that what healing does is it makes you more unique and beautiful than you were before. And I noticed that with people. Mm-hmm. And then I began to see it with organizations. Once they could get past their wounds, the hurt like hell stage.
Yeah.
And then once they could go through the stage where it's called proliferation, where it all comes together and things start healing. And once they got to the scar and once they realized that, it was beautiful.
Wow.
Some people got there and some people didn't. So I thought, how could I write about comparing individuals and their wounds and scars mm-hmm. to organizations and their wounds and scars. That's what it's about.
Wow. What kind of feedback have you gotten? Like from whether it's the first readers, the people that participate, like what kind of feedback have you gotten on the project so far?
Well, just this morning, I got an email from one of my readers that said, I couldn't stop reading it. I couldn't even go to bed last night. So I'm very excited. I had some other feedback that says it's very serious. Mm. And the other person said, I like your sense of humor. So I think it's serious. It's serious because being wounded is serious. But I also think that being wounded and getting healed mm-hmm. and becoming more beautiful is also a joy. So what I tried to present in the book is both the hard part, the healing part, and the joyful part. And I'm seeing that my readers are understanding that.
So what I'm hearing is put that Netflix down and pick up that Art of Scars. That's what I'm hearing from you right now. It's funny. Yes. It's serious. It's got its highs. It's got its lows, but we're healing. I'm like together. I'm excited. I'm like, all right, let's go. Where are we going to heal?
I love it. One of my readers said, I really like the character Kathy Jan. Well, Kathy Jan is my first and middle name. And when I was a little girl, I called her my best friend. So I knew that there was a little person living inside of me named Kathy Jan. And it's taken me all these years to figure out that Kathy Jan was my subconscious. She was the one that was programmed, just like software in a computer. She was programmed to learn how to brush her teeth, how to comb her hair. She was programmed to learn how to say please and thank you. She was programmed to be afraid. She was programmed to be, I woke up one morning and I was about four and nobody was in the house. My mother had heart problems. My dad took her to the hospital and I was left alone. So she was programmed to actually feel like she had been left alone. And so I have fears of that. And I look back at my early programming that Kathy Jan has, and she and I have to have conversations. Kathy's the conscious one. Kathy Jan is the subconscious one. But the beauty, what I recognized out of it was that it's just like organizations. Organizations are made up of what? People.
Yes.
And when they're made up of all of us people, all of us have a Kathy and Kathy Jan, which is a subconscious. And so organization culture is made up of all of the people's subconscious. How were we programmed? What is our fear? What do we like to do? How do we communicate the best? We all learn that as little people. And it stuck with us. And so what cultures have to learn to do in an organization is how do they get into their consciousness of really what's the best thing to do? So the book I wrote has to do with my two main characters, Kathy and Kathy Jan, and how they came together to create a consciousness that can actually not only be successful in the world, but can thrive.
Wow. And I think the one of the interesting things about this is the way the book is, you know, a metaphor, if you will, but it really connects the human side and also the organization side, which you don't normally see books like that. Like normally it's like either, I don't want to use the word dry, but very, very specific. It's just specific, like very business. Like you pick it up in a business school and they're very specific operationally. It could have been written by maybe a COO or something like that nature. Not in a bad way, but it's just giving the information. But in this way, I feel like the reader has a little bit more of an opportunity to remember it. Like they're just to remember it, and because it was written to give kind of a certain feeling. Am I off, or was that one of the things that you were trying to achieve?
You know, Adam, that's really good. I was trying to achieve that. I was trying also to achieve, organization's ability to see people and the organization's ability to see how people, how they think, how they feel, how they act, and how they react. And if they could understand the fact that individuals and organizations are alive and understand that people's feelings are real. Mm-hmm. And if you don't deal with those feelings, and I love what Stephen Covey says, you know, if you don't talk it out, you act it out.
Yeah.
And so once organizations understand that people have these subconsciousness that Kathy James, and they're all together in the culture, then what they could do is they can process those feelings. Mm-hmm. And besides just acting them out in a negative way, organizations can begin to understand that there's a positive way to deal with this. Mm. There's a conscious, positive way to deal with this. So what I tried to do was almost bring in the human side mm-hmm. to the organization so that it's a different kind of business book.
Yeah.
But it's a really business book that helps them understand people and how people make up the organization. That was my intent.
And it seems as though, like, even just the words that you're using to, like, feel or things like that, like, people don't really think about the feeling of an organization. They may say, you know, the mood, the, like, you know, the tone or, like, the atmosphere, but those are very different. Yeah, those are very different words than a feeling. Like, to think of it as a living, breathing entity kind of changes things, right? Like, is it sick? Does it need to be healed? Does it have to, like, do we need to call Kathy in as our resident doctor to help us? Because maybe we need a shot in the arm. I don't know. Kathy has a big, did we need Kathy to bring her toolkit? Like, what do we need here? But if you start thinking about it like that, it humanizes it, number one. But number two, it also makes things actionable, in my opinion. Like, you can do something. It's not like a lost cause. Like, there's things that can be done to make it better.
Yes. You know, I'll give you an example from a job that I had really early on in my discovery of this was with a very large oil company. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to decide with their partners whether they should keep or shut down a new modernization facility. Mm-hmm. And they invited me in to facilitate the discussion. Mm-hmm. When I first walked in, number one, I'm female. Yeah. And there's not any other females in the room. And so when I started working, this was really unusual that I was actually a female. And so they looked at me kind of like, you got to be kidding. What are you sending her in here for? And so it was important that I began to help them understand and believe that I knew how to facilitate mm-hmm. their discussion and their learning. So it was kind of hard because I knew that we had to get to their thoughts and feelings mm-hmm. without using the word feelings.
Yes. Not from and you. So, you couldn't do it from
not
you.
Not for me. I couldn't do it for me.
Yeah.
So the first day I didn't mention that, but the second day I went in and I said, well, we're going to talk about your feelings. Oh.
We knew it. We knew it.
We knew it. We knew you were going to talk about feelings.
Of course you were.
Of course you were. So I did a process that I learned from an amazing, amazing book called Mining Group Gold. How do you get group gold out of people? How do you do it? And so I said, okay, on one side of a piece of paper that you're writing on, mm-hmm. write down what you think about this particular closing down or keeping open this facility. And then on the other side, I want you to write down how you feel. Oh, but I said, you don't have to say anything. I just want you to write it down. So they did. After we did that, mm-hmm. I put it up on the wall and I let everybody see their feelings. Mm-hmm. And once they saw that all over the map, their feelings were different. Mm-hmm. And once they understood that thoughts move into emotions mm-hmm. and then emotions turn to communication. Mm-hmm. So their communication, they were communicating their feelings, even they weren't talking about it. Mm-hmm. So once they understood that and began to look at it, by the end of the 3 days, we made a final decision and they were all in agreement.
Wow. Mind but blown. That's it
was
amazing.
I was amazed, but you have to go from thoughts to people's feelings mm-hmm. to their words, because that's conscious. That's how they communicate. Mm-hmm. And then their actions. But if you could begin to help people understand it from all four of those levels, even though they don't like the word feeling.
Yeah.
But it's not about thinking about it. It's how they feel about it. Mm-hmm. And once they understand that and be able to then turn it into words, because if they don't talk about how they feel about it, They'll fight. They'll run out of the room.
Oh, yeah.
They'll freeze. They won't say anything. It's fight, flight, or freeze. Yeah. So you have to get it out. And so what I've learned over time is that being a woman and being able to say the word feeling has been okay. But it's been okay because I think organizations are beginning to see that. Mm-hmm. They're beginning to see that people have thought feelings, mm-hmm. words, and actions. And once they begin to see it, then what they can do is they can transform those mm-hmm. into something that they can all work together with.
It's amazing. So this may be a little bit of an unfair question, but my show, I ask it anyway. I like to ask all of my authors this. If you could pick like one takeaway, and I know there's many, many takeaways in the book, of course, but if you could pick one takeaway that you would hope your readers would take from this work, what would it be?
I believe that the breakthrough in my book is that culture is really not some mysterious unknown in an organization. Mm. Culture is very clear. Mm. Culture is everybody in the organization, everybody. It's the subconscious behavior, the programmed behavior. Yeah. So what I'd like everybody to take from this is if you think about a computer, your computer has software. Mm-hmm. And this computer is in the software, everybody is programmed. Yeah. And the culture is everybody's programmed behavior. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is that, guess what? That programmed behavior is 95% of how the organization behaves. Mm-hmm. 95%. So if we're looking at 95% of this program mm-hmm. running the organization, then what are we doing with the other 5% of the consciousness? Mm. And so what I do in my book is to basically say, how do you take that 95% that's culture, that subconscious programming, and then transform that programming so that it goes into 5% of consciousness where everyone is working together and they're agreeing on their thoughts, feelings, words, and actions. I believe my book does that. And I believe that I've gone to so many organizations where they say, we don't know what about our culture? It's our value. Oh, yeah, it's their value. But it's mm-hmm. so much more than that.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to take away. And I want them to take away that, guess what? We can measure that program. Mm. And we can not only measure the program, but we can tell you whether the program is mostly passive, mm-hmm. mostly aggressive, or is it developmental and constructive? And if it's mostly passive and aggressive, we can tell them how to actually transform that to be constructed.
Wow. Well, this has been great, Kathy. I'm excited. You have me thinking about even Mission Matters. Like I use certain words sometimes like the heartbeat of the organization or things like that. And I try to visualize us and how our health is, but I don't think I've ever gone a level deeper to where I was thinking about subconscious, or I've only done like body parts. Like that's the head. That's the very, but I was missing something. This interview, you taught me a lot. Like, so I was missing something. I was missing the soul of it. I was missing the subconscious in the way that we talk. I mean, so we talk a lot internally about, you know, the legs, the arms, the heartbeat. The podcast is the heartbeat of the organization. That's our content, the this, the that. What's the, you know, the distribution.
It's the program.
So I was built. We were building robots before, and now we just came alive. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
We brought the Frankenstein together. Now it's alive, right?
It's alive now.
And I think it's a great, I mean, I feel like it's a great lesson for anybody that's maybe not thinking along those levels. I was thinking on one level, and I think, you know, that's an opportunity in itself, but now to kind of raise the bar and try to meet that next level of an entity, I think is a special challenge and one that many organizations are privileged to have. So thank you for this lesson today.
Oh, you're welcome. So Adam, what's your middle name?
Israel.
Mm-hmm. Israel. So Adam Israel.
Yes.
Is your program.
Yes.
It's your subconscious. It's how you were programmed the first 10 years of your life. Mm. And it's those things that sometimes you don't think about, like when you drive, you don't think, put your foot on the brake, turn on the key. Adam Israel is there with you. Mm. But if you let him have total control, there's a lot of fear there. So what you have to do is you have to be nice to it. You know, you have to calm them down. Mm-hmm. And you have to actually use your conscious mind to move forward. So that's how we put it alive. That's how we build a Frankenstein.
That's awesome. So, Kathy, this has been great. I have to ask. So what's next? I know you're promoting your book heavily. I know you're on a lot of speaking, a lot of engagements. Like, what's next for you? What's next for the company?
What's next for the company is, I guess, I have a favorite saying, and I want to say the saying. It's what you do now. When you don't have to do anything that makes you who you want to be when it's too late to do anything about it. Our company wants to work with people who are ready to go to the next level. But that's what we're going to do. And that's what I'd like the book to do. And when you finish this one, I'll have step two for you.
Oh man, that's exciting. And so where can people pick up a copy? Where can they reach out to you to learn more about working with you and your team? Where can they pick up a copy of the book? Like, we'll put it in the show notes, of course, as well, but where can people follow up?
They could get it on Amazon. They could get it if it's Kindle or hardback or paperback. They could also check my website. It's kathyhagman.com, or they can go to my business website, which is k2ohsolutions.com.
Fantastic. Well, Kathy, again, been a pleasure having you on the show today. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you got some new perspectives today. I certainly did. If you did, don't forget also, if you're a first-time listener, hit that subscribe button. We definitely want you to come back and be return listeners and visitors. We have many more mission-based entrepreneurs, executives, and experts coming up for you, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Kathy, congrats again on the book, Art of Scars. Everybody go get it. There's going to be some links in the down below for you to pick up a copy. And Kathy, again, it's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you very much. Both Kathy and Kathy Jan appreciate you.
Thank you.